It is the Locked On Bengals podcast with your hosts Joe Goodberry and Jake Lisco. Find us on Twitter at Joe Goodberry and at Jake_NFL. Please like, subscribe, and share as we try to grow this community and pump out daily Bengals content just for you.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Joe's back off the night shift, which means we get to talk to each other, which I really appreciate. As always, you can find the podcast on the new Himalaya podcasting app. It offers you a great way to discover new podcasts while you listen to your favorite podcast, which is, of course, Locked On Bengals. Also available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. So, Joe, I wasn't able to listen yesterday for your solo show. What did you talk about? I wonder how much we repeated each other.
Oh, I don't know if we did, because there was a lot of the day we took off was day two, and then day three, right? Or is that, yeah, somewhere around that time, depending on when you're listening. So I had a lot of stuff to go over. I talked about the defense, because we haven't had too many opportunities. There's a lot of good quotes and notes from Lou Anarumo and William Jackson and others. And I played a bunch of clips from Dan Hoard and Dre Kirkpatrick and Dave Lapham. And I also talked about the receivers blocking. And there was some good plays, three plays in a row to John Ross, which Dave Lapham dialogued and broke down what they did with him and said how involved he is in the game. So that's basically what we talked about. It was a quick 25-minute episode.
That sounds pretty interesting. I missed the stuff on John Ross, but I'd be curious to hear what they were doing special with him. What I listened to and what I talked about was that the defense keeps winning. Did you have a chance to talk about Jake Dolagala at all?
I did not. I heard about that also. That was fantastic.
Day three, I guess he was something like 12 for 17, which included a couple of drops, according to Dan Hoard. Showed off a big arm. Yeah, three touchdowns. I don't know what drills they were. I don't know if it was 11s or 7s, but for the undrafted guy that I have certainly tempered my own expectations on, that's pretty good considering how bad backup quarterbacks have been in this offseason process so far.
Yeah, it would be exciting to watch, actually see a fourth quarterback that you will be interested in come preseason, you know, because normally if those guys get in at all and if the Bengals like them, they'll hide them because you'd like to get them on the practice squad, right? You know, normally they get in, it's the last drive of the game, and there's nothing really to see, and they're usually terrible. So at least if he's not terrible, that'll be fun.
Well, yeah, and we'll have to see what happens when it's an actual game situation. But it sounds like, from an arm talent perspective, at least, it's there. And if he can get the mental aspect down, and I'm sure there's technique stuff that he didn't get coached on at Central Connecticut State. Maybe there's something there, diamond in the rough kind of player. But, I mean, he's an undrafted quarterback from a division. I don't even know if Central Connecticut State's in Division II. I don't know what division they're in.
I even know they were a team until this guy showed up out of nowhere.
Right, yeah, exactly. So those are the notes that maybe we didn't get to. There's a lot of Dolagala, the backups. The veterans, I guess, got the day off on the third day of minicamp. And usually, I guess, they do a team activity or something. And Dave Lapham was talking about how they've put in this point system that they've talked about throughout the offseason where they, you know, the offense gets 3 points for kicking a field goal, but the defense gets 4 points for not allowing a touchdown in red zone drills. The defense gets points for, you know, takeaways, obviously. The offense gets points for having two first downs in a row or something like that. So they have this whole point system to keep things competitive, keep guys engaged. It sounds like that's been really well received.
You know what I really like from that, too, is he said they're unscripted practices for the most part. And that may be confusing for a lot of people. You may think, well, the defense calls their plays, the offense calls their play, and they practice. Well, that's not always the case. And Dave Lapham talks about this, and he says, excuse me if you hear my daughter screaming in the background there, but he says, normally, or not normally, but a lot of times you will, as an offense, say, hey, we're trying to work on these couple of formations or these looks. Can you give us a cover two? Can you blitz? Can you do this or that? Just so we can practice against it, because that's what we think we'll get when we show up like this. And defense may do this too. If the Bengals are out there in three wide receiver every play, the defense may say, hey, guys, we want to actually get in our base defense and run some plays here. So either you can call it and be exploited, or you can say, can you guys come out in 12 personnel or whatever it takes to get them in their base defense. But instead, what they've been doing is the offense calling plays and the defense calling their own plays, trying to counteract and trying to throw different things at each other. This is kind of what you would do in like week two, week three of training camp.
Yeah, which I think has been mentioned. And it sounds like also Brian Callahan did an interview with local TV. It sounds like they have a vast majority of the offense installed at this point. They've got film on a lot of the stuff that they want to get in. It sounds like it's just small stuff and cleanup that they're going to finish up in training camp.
Yeah, I think they said it was 80%. Pretty much the bones are there, and this is the offense. And from there, they're going to tweak and add on.
Right. Well, that is a good summary of minicamp. We're sorry we missed a day this week. It's just a thing that's going to happen from time to time because of conflicting schedules. Not only do Joe and I live on opposite time zones of the country, Joe sometimes has to work nights, and so we're gonna have that happen sometimes where we have to change up the schedule, and we'll figure it out. In the regular season, though, we'll be probably a little bit more regular in terms of at least making sure that there are episodes on the same days every week, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But we're in the middle. Like, now we're in the – I tweeted this a couple days ago. Our watch has begun. We have right. 6 weeks to make it through these podcasts with nothing.
Don't be surprised if we take, like, an extra day off for a few weeks here and only do four podcasts a week. And I know it's really a bummer. Some of these guys tweet us when we miss a day. Like, I just drove to work and listened to yesterday's podcast. I am sorry. But, you know, for our sanity, I think we need to wait until there's something to talk about.
And for your sanity, too, I think.
Well, when I said our, I meant them and us together.
Oh, yeah. Because we're all in this together, guys and girls. I know we have some excellent women listeners out there as well. So let's get into the questions. First question comes from Stripe City. If you could build an NBA roster with current Bengals players, who are you taking? And I think this was asked by somebody else as well. So I think it was Andrew. So Joe, let's go. You pick one, I'll take one, and we'll build a starting five.
Okay, so we're doing a starting five. Okay, so I want height. I'm going to go with... I want to, you know, it's kind of weird because we don't have anyone that's, you know, 6'11", 6'10".
No one does.
7 foot. Right.
Those guys play basketball.
I'm readjusting what I'm thinking, and I'm saying, okay, Carlos Dunlap is probably our center if this is a football team or a basketball team made of football players. So I'm going to take Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, Carlos Dunlap's for sure on the team. I'm taking AJ Green because Bengals players have said he's the best player on the team. He's just like a wing. He's your small forward. He's probably your all-star.
Yeah, he probably is your small forward. You know who else I think, if he's healthy, I think Tyler Eifert would be a good power forward.
Yeah, for sure.
That's at least three right there.
I'll let Andy Dalton play point guard.
That's fine.
Okay. Quarterbacks are definitely good shooters. And obviously, like, he would have the court vision and the distribution. Like, yep. he can put a ball where he wants to put a ball compared to NBA point guards.
Well, I'm going to add our shooting guard then, and I'm just going to take a guess on this, but I think just the way he plays, I think Tyler Boyd would be a good shooting guard.
Tyler Boyd.
I think he'd be a good defender.
Who's one of the athletic freaks they got? Like, who jumped out of the building?
John Ross. I mean,
did John Ross jump? He didn't jump because he pulled his hamstring.
He broad jumped. He didn't just run.
Yeah, but he didn't right vertical. I want to get Marvin Jones back from Detroit.
Yeah.
To play shooting guard. How about Joe Mixon? I bet you he could do stuff.
I bet he could. Actually, John Ross did run to his vertical.
Oh, did
37
he?
Inch, yes.
Oh, sure.
Which is 71 percentile, but that's still pretty good.
I think you're taking John Ross at point then and letting Andy Dalton be your J.J. Redick or something.
But don't you want Dalton to be the guy holding the ball and dishing it? Isn't he the point guard of the football team right now?
Yeah.
Did you watch the game last night?
I watched the end with a bunch of Raptors fans too. It was very funny. They're like, They're like, oh no, I'm pretty sure Fred VanVleet's Canadian, or I'm pretty sure Nick Nurse is Canadian. Like, nobody involved in the Toronto Raptors organization is Canadian, except maybe some of the owners, but none of them are Canadians. And they were like, oh, really? What? And I'm pretty sure. And then we looked it up, and sure enough, none of them are Canadian.
So
So that
they
was
were
fun.
recent Toronto Raptors fans. So they were just Canadian.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it, right?
Right.
It's like everyone's into it because it's Canada in the finals. And you know what I thought is, will the White House invite the Raptors for a White House visit because they're a
I
Canadian
didn't
team?
think about this.
And
No.
there's a news article about it, and the news article is like, well, we don't know. But last year, Trump didn't invite the Warriors because previously, hi, Joe's daughter, previously, the Warriors had turned Trump down. So there's at least a year gap. So there would be a recent precedent for not inviting the NBA champions to the White House.
Right, and just say it's because they're Canadian when probably they weren't going to invite the Warriors anyways.
Right. Well, all the players are American, though, except for the couple Spaniards and the one African. I guess
Okay,
Serge
but
Ibaka is also African.
Canada doesn't normally invite the winner of any American sport to their
Nope.
White House.
But when's the last time a Canadian team won, like, the
Right.
Stanley Cup?
Exactly what I was thinking. And I was going to say, do they go to
Somebody knows.
Washington, or do
Somebody
they go
knows.
to, somebody knows. Someone's going to comment and let us know.
Yep. Let's go to
And
the next.
we'll wait for that, actually.
That was one question, Joe. Let's
We
get to
went
the
too
next
long.
one.
Next one's from Nick Green at ngreen796. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned should we be with Jonah Williams' injury?
Well, so far he's missed only a week of the off-season program, which isn't great, but we really don't know anything right now, and I don't think we will know unless the information leaks before training camp. So I'm at about a 6. The fact that they're being weird about it and not downplaying it is concerning. Maybe even a 7. Just because they're not saying, "Oh, it's precautionary." They're not saying any of that stuff. On the other hand, he's not wearing any braces, he's not wearing a sling, so it makes me think maybe it's a core injury, or I don't know
Right.
what it could possibly be.
They
Foot
said
thing?
he
I
was
don't know.
stretching his back, right?
Could be
So,
back. Yeah.
yeah, and if that's the case, they can't give you an update because a lot of times with back injuries, they don't know. It's a muscle or there's some swelling or they're like, hey, pulled something, could be a pinched nerve. Just got to give them time and keep stretching it and moving it.
Yeah. So,
So, my number
6-7,
level 5,
you're 5. Yeah, that's
because
reasonable.
it could go either way. It could be something where we come back and they go, yeah, it ended up being worse. We thought the time off would help. And we could go the other way where they go, oh, yeah, he's fine to go. Let's go.
Yep.
So I'm not leaning either way.
Fair enough. On to the next one. But you're not low concern. That's notable. 5 is at least somewhat concerned.
Because if it's the back, then I mean, back or neck are things I don't want it to be.
Or abdomen. It could be core, like something between neck and hips, you know? Could be
Sure.
something in there. Yeah, I'm similar. I'm just on the higher end just because the PR, if it wasn't a big deal. They're not saying stuff like, oh, we're just holding him out as a precaution. We just don't want to risk, exacerbating a minor thing. It's we don't know.
Yeah, the hope
Which,
is that they don't know, right?
yeah. Next question comes from Scott McElroy. If you were doing fantasy football and picked one Bengals player, which one would you pick? I was thinking Mixon.
I'm thinking Mixon too. I was on the radio in Minnesota the other day, and I said to them because they were asking about different players, and I said Mixon. If you get in a weird spot in fantasy drafts, and I've just barely started looking at him, but when you get into like that fifth, sixth pick, and you're in definitely in that second tier of running backs, and you want to go running back, I think there's a case for a lot of players. But as Bengals fans, we may push Joe Mixon up a little bit. We know that in this offense, he could end up being a true stud running back. And if that's the case, I think he's going to be worth a first round pick completely. And he's the only fantasy player that's worth it. Now, for considering value, I think AJ Green's going in like the third round. And if he's healthy, I want AJ Green. He's a top of the second round normal pick. So if he's there in the third round, I'm taking him.
You took my answer. Next question.
Sorry. This question is to me. And this is from Stemple Zachary. Is that right? Yes, that is. I was going to say his other name on there, but I'm not going to. Anyways, continue. What is Joe's opinion on Halo Infinite so far? This was shown in the past two E3s. E3 was just this past week. He says, I'm personally getting all the feelings of playing Halo 3 again. And now for a Bengals related question. How happy were you that Westerman was the immediate number two left guard. You want me to answer the first part first, Jake?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, for Halo Infinite. Halo's my favorite game series, so Infinite has me extremely excited. Even though they're taking an extra year, it seems, to get it right and get it done, I think Halo is on the verge of dying with not a lot of casual people playing it the way it was in Halo 2, Halo 3, so that's scary for me. And I think them taking the time to really make it fresh, make it new, and do it right is exciting, and everything they've shown so far is exactly what I want.
I have no thoughts on Halo 3.
This isn't Halo 3, it's Halo Infinite. Halo 3 came out 12 years ago, Jake.
I have no thoughts on the Halo franchise.
Very good. How about Christian Westerman?
I think that there's some weird stuff happening at left guard. Clint Bowling's hurt. I don't know what was happening with Trey Hopkins that day, and they very quickly said that they got John Jerry in there with the first unit too. That said, if Westerman is your number two left guard, great. I think, though, that John Jerry is certainly going to push him for that spot, and it makes Westerman more cuttable. And yep. I think if Jonah Williams comes back and is healthy, well, I have a hard time seeing Westerman's path to the field unless Cordy Glenn shows that he can't play guard, and then suddenly you need guards.
Or Jonah's hurt, right, and it's worse.
And, well, who did I say?
Oh, I thought you said Clint Bowling.
Well, right. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Do you know what I'm saying? Anyways, and one other thing I noticed from that day, too, was Michael Jordan was against snapping. So maybe he's the backup center, especially if Trey Hopkins was out that day. So that's probably why Westerman was. We don't know. I think the guard position is weird. They've got a lot of guys that could potentially make the roster. So
there's nine guys at guard.
But that the fact that he did take number two snaps that day, I was very excited. But
he was number one snaps that day.
Sure, yeah.
As a number two, as a sub, yeah. Which is great. I also noted that Michael Jordan was snapping the ball in the pictures. Did you see a report that he was center with the second team, or was it just the pictures of him snapping?
It was just pictures of him snapping, and with Hopkins not playing that day, I assumed. And based on who else was standing next to him, was Redmond to his right, I said, okay, that's got to be
He was actually lined up. I only saw a picture of him snapping, just practicing snapping.
I saw that too. Yeah, and there was other ones of him being completely out there with the team.
I see. Okay, interesting. What is this team's deal with putting rookies at center, huh?
I don't know. Why everyone else wants to put him at guard first?
Yeah, it's strange. Next question comes from John Harden. People just want to ask you questions this week, I guess, Joe. What printer did Joe buy?
Yeah, I bought a 3D printer. We talked about that, I think, earlier this week. But I bought a Creality CR10S, and I bought that one because it's got all the little upgrades that you want. Plus, it's got a big heat bed, so I can print out some big things, like a full helmet in one shot.
That's pretty cool. He's also printed a little miniature for me for Dungeons & Dragons purposes, which I'm very excited about. He's painting it for me right now because Joe's just a great guy, doing it out of the goodness of his heart.
That's me.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. 3D printers are pretty useful little contraptions. And while we're on the topic of Dungeons & Dragons, this is something that we'll probably get into next week. LogieB513 gave us a great idea that I absolutely love, which is I'm going to design and take Joe through a little one-on-one Dungeons & Dragons adventure where Joe is going to play the part of a Cincinnati Bengals-based NPC, or player character, I should say, and he'll go up against things like a flock of metal ravens that form an impenetrable wall that he has to break through, and some rabid dogs, and maybe some, you know, undead, thirsty, I don't know,
steel
miners of some sort. Yeah, they'll be made out of metal or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I think it's going to be fun. We'll do it in like short little bursts every episode for the next 6 weeks, and that'll be the way we pass the time.
And I know nothing about Dungeons and Dragons, so he'll definitely be leading me through this. But anything where you can mix the Bengals with something nerdy, that is half my brand, I think. So I'm down for that.
Half
at least.
I think more.
You think more than that?
No. Most of your brand is film stuff, I think. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com, as we have been for the past little while here now. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Be there, do that, get rewarded, hotels.com. We'll be right back.
And we're back to the Locked On Bengals podcast. We're going to jump right back into the questions. Jake, this is from your burner account. It's from Canadian Bengals fan. And he asks, if you could describe various Bengals players as a type of sandwich, which sandwich would they be? And he gives an example. AJ Green is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Not flashy on the menu, but a staple and a top five Sandy that can compete with the best of them.
Yeah, this is a cool question. And also, let's not steal Canadian Bengals fans' thunder. He is his own Canadian individual. He lives on the other coast of the country. Probably is much, actually, is definitely much closer to you than he is to me.
We talked about this, right? He's not far from me at all. If right. This is the right guy, because unless there was a couple of them that is right over the other, right on the other side of the Niagara Falls.
Yeah. So, all right. So John Ross, I think, is like a mini sandwich that you can eat really quickly. And also, he's small.
He's toast.
But small toast. Like a cracker with like hors d'oeuvres on it. Like a cracker hors d'oeuvre sandwich. You know what I'm saying? He's fancy. You can eat him fast because he's fast and he's small. And it's small
because
he's
sandwiches? Small. Are those sandwiches? I'm thinking like the ones that come in the packages. The orange ones with the peanut butter in them or the cheese in them?
No. Those are crackers. I'm talking like tiny little bread sandwiches with bread.
Okay, but hang on now. There are two pieces of bread-like...
Those are crackers. Barriers.
Crackers, fine. Okay.
Different from bread. Bread has yeast. It's leavened.
Oh, man, you're killing me here. And the middle has peanut butter or cheese. That's like a sandwich.
Those are crackers.
Okay.
They're sandwich-style crackers.
Sandwich-style crackers.
All right. How about let's do a couple more here. Yeah. I think Geno Atkins is like the meat lovers or the Dagwood, where it's just... everything you want all in one sandwich and it's huge.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's like the it's like an assorted sub and it's got everything.
Yeah, it's got all the things that you want in a sandwich and also it's large. So both, and this is my theme for sandwiches is size and also content and theming the content.
I gotcha then. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I need to think about this then. You got another one?
Sure. Let's do.
I'm trying to think of something that's red and fiery.
Buffalo chicken sandwich.
Is that Andy Dalton? Because he's got connections with Buffalo now.
Andy Dalton is like a peanut butter on white bread sandwich.
What?
He's a staple.
He's honey and bananas in it.
That's a little too not vanilla for Andy Dalton.
You think he just is a regular PB&J?
Not even J.
Just P.
Just PV.
Wait, what PV?
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter, right?
Yeah.
For some reason in my head, I was thinking the B went with jelly. But
maybe he could be crunchy peanut butter.
Oh, spice it up. Honey crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah, okay.
Still too much, huh?
I think so.
Who just eats a peanut butter sandwich?
I do.
For what?
For the nutritional value of peanut butter.
Lick your lips? Yeah, but put some honey and bananas in it, like I said. Then it's good.
I think I like my peanut butter sandwiches with just peanut butter.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not defensive. I just say I'm liking them.
What's Joe Mixon? He's got to be something that's meaty, strong, but yet it's got some zing to it.
Hmm. That could be your buffalo chicken sandwich.
He's olive loaf. You ever have olive loaf?
Olive loaf? Why is he olive loaf?
Because it's exactly that. It's meat with a little bit of zing.
I guess I haven't had olive loaf.
Olive loaf's good. It's just olives cut inside like a weird ham type thing.
Let's do one more.
Okay.
Let's pick one more.
Is there a sandwich that's always broken? See, I'm thinking of sandwiches that we can make players.
Very messy. Okay, so there's this sandwich that I used to get for breakfast at this place in town called Beach Fires. It was a breakfast place we went to for Sunday brunch, and they have this thing that's called a bunwich. And on the bunwich, it's a typical breakfast sandwich, egg, bacon, lettuce, tomato, whatever, whatever goes on breakfast sandwiches. And they, for a while, would let you pick the way you wanted your eggs cooked. And then after a little bit of time, the chef got fed up with people, me, ordering my eggs scrambled on the sandwich because the scrambled egg sandwich, the egg falls out everywhere. But with
probably
the sauce...
Probably because you said don't put any cheese on it.
No, of course I want cheese on it. What do you think I am, some sort of savage?
You're
I love
eating just regular peanut butter on bread.
But cheese is also one of my favorite foods.
Okay.
Anyway, With the sauce and the cheese and the bacon, the scrambled egg, the way they cooked it actually was an incredible sandwich. And I love the sandwich. But the downside of the sandwich is it would get everywhere, it would fall apart. And I think that that is Tyler
That
Eifert.
makes sense,
It's a
especially a
perfect
scrambled egg
sandwich as
sandwich.
long as it's together, and then it starts falling apart as soon as you take a couple
That's
bites.
great. As you're saying that, I'm thinking Giovanni Bernard is like an egg McMuffin because I can eat like four of those. Give me all those. They're
Oh
small. They
yeah.
taste great. They're classic. You can use them in so many different ways. Now they're served for lunch. I can eat an egg McMuffin anytime.
This is a good question.
Is it me? Am I up next? No, you are.
No, I'm up next. Kevin Jacobson, welcome back to Mailbag Friday. Weekend,
Look at
whatever.
that beard in that picture. You see that?
Yeah, it's a longer beard than I've got. I've never tried to grow it out that long, but it looks like he has a little bit more straight beard hair than I do. Mine gets all curly. Anyway, Kevin asks, Lou Piniella said after the 1990 Reds World Series that one mistake was not turning over 25% of the roster to keep players hungry and avoid staleness. Do you think this idea works in the NFL? And does the fresh excitement players have now expire after 2 to 3 years?
All of this is yes. I think for everything you mentioned and asked, yes, Kevin. Number one, I think the Bengals struggled with the staleness. That's the reason Marvin eventually was gone, right? But way too long, way too late. And the roster turnover, they never would all, and they'd allow players to leave one or two here or there, but they weren't bringing in an influx of talent, not 25% turnover. Maybe if they had 12 draft picks that all made the roster, but largely, it was the same roster and the same coaching staff for a long time, and you go 2, 3, 4 years with it, and you don't win something substantial. Yeah, it gets stale really quickly. So I think that's why players are excited for the first time in a long time, and why it feels different, why it feels good. It doesn't mean it'll be wins, but it feels good to at least try something new. But yes, if they don't win, if something doesn't go right, 2 years, yeah, 3 years, it'll be back to okay, let's make a move where it's stale again.
Yeah. It's interesting actually that you asked this question today. Paul Daner put out a piece with the seven coaches that were holdovers. Did you get a chance to read that, Joe, over
I did
the
not.
Athletic? Yeah, he had quotes, a verbal history kind of piece in the C. Trent style. I like that Paul Daner is trying to copy C. Trent and translate it to football, but I think that baseball players are a little bit more forthcoming than football coaches. Anyway, in this article, Darren Simmons says that the excitement that's out there right now, the newness was similar with Marvin Lewis when he came in. It's the same idea. Of course, that's going to wear off over time, especially if you don't win. I think there's
Right.
the great coaches, the ones that are going to go to the Hall of Fame, are the ones that can keep it going despite the luster of their approach wearing off, and they find ways to keep it fresh. It could be roster turnover, it could be innovation. And I'm thinking of guys like Andy Reid and Bill Belichick.
Do the Patriots turn over the roster? I would say they do.
Yeah, tons.
Yeah. They let their.
More than most teams, I think.
It could be an 8-year veteran that just let them go or trade them.
Oh, they don't care. Unless it's Tom
Yeah.
Brady, they don't
Right,
care.
that's
Tom
it,
Brady, Rob
really.
Gronkowski, those are the only two players that are Patriots for life.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like their 15-year run, and I may be shorting them a few years there. But yeah, there's maybe five, six, seven core players that lasted more than 6 years or so. But that's, they keep the roster moving.
They've actually, I bet you they keep their current secondary intact as long as they're good. The McCourties have been around for a while,
So
and
is Chung.
Stephon Gilmore is going to be there a while too. Linebackers, defensive line, offensive line, wide receivers, running backs, they don't care.
No, they move them. And they keep finding good ones. Maybe that's why. Maybe, why pay those guys if
I think
the
that
next guy up.
you don't need to be that good. If you're good, you're going to put up Randy Moss video game numbers. And if you're just a guy, you're going to win the Super Bowl MVP.
It's true.
So, man, imagine being the coach that has to follow up Bill Belichick when he retires in New England, because you know he's not getting fired.
Josh McDaniels,
Yeah,
right?
and then he's gonna run it into the ground and get fired. I guess that's just how it's gonna go. Whoever takes it over, if it's one of Bill Belichick's guys, is just gonna run it into the ground, and they'll bring in somebody else later.
I mean, that's how it works. It doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
Same as, when the 49ers had to start over and, from the 80s to the 90s.
Right.
And they still found a way to win one, actually. George Seifert was the coach, right? Wasn't Steve Young one?
Yeah, sounds right.
That sounds right. Whatever. Ready for the next one? Oh, it's Andrew Dockerill. Thanks, Andrew, for another question. But we did answer your question already. He also asks, the Bengals lining up an NBA team. So
he has another question and a couple of questions. We will answer one of your questions, Andrew.
So we'll see you in a minute, Andrew. But Dusty Balls 08, back on the podcast, he says, what numbers would you guys wear if you played or if you used to play? And what kind of pizza toppings do you guys like on your pizza? Two questions there.
We talked about this one before you recorded, so I've got my answer prepared. I would wear number 7, and I would be the place kicker, but not the kickoffer, because no matter what position they put – so the way we did this is because it's just saying I have to go play in the NFL at my current build, which is not an NFL build.
And what's your build right now?
I'm like 6'160". I'm not in good shape. I might be the weakest I've been in my life right now.
You said 160?
Yeah.
At 6'1"?
Six.
Oh, six. Okay, I got you. I was hearing both those together there.
Yeah.
That could be a slot, maybe.
I would die quick, right?
I would die. What if they said, kickoff, Jake, you got to be on this kickoff, opening kickoff of the season. So you're amped up, right? And they're like, if you make the tackle, we'll give you $1 million.
No, I can't.
Would you try to make the tackle?
Yeah, but I would look worse. You see kickers and punters out there trying to tackle and how bad they look? They're more athletic than me for sure. They're more athletic than you too.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not.
I'm saying you, the generic you, the listener you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were taking a shot right at me.
No, unless you were taking my shirt off,
start flexing.
So I'd be the guy that's the place kicker. I would like to be protected, and also on a team that has a puncher that does a kickoff. So the puncher is your kickoff man, and I'm just gonna try really hard to kick it over the defensive line so it doesn't get blocked, and I'll probably try to kick it out of bounds too. Because I can't kick it far enough unless it's an old school extra point to get it through the uprights and not get it blocked. So I'm just protecting myself.
The least athletic play or look in an NFL game is when that kicker has to tackle the kickoff return man.
I know.
It's one on one. They look like a dad out there running around. Like you're a 45-year-old dad.
Compared to the normal population, they're above average athletes.
Yep. So I should answer this. My favorite number was 13. That could be quarterback, wide receiver, I guess, kicker, punter. But I do have a fondness for 37 and 87 also. So I guess I could play in position with them. 87, my birth year. So whenever I would play Madden, Create Yourself, or the NCAA game, and I ended up being at those positions, I'd pick 87. But I am 6'3", about 205 right now. But I am not built like a 6'3", 205 guy. I'm just like a regular-ass guy. So I'd get crushed out there also.
Yeah, not quite as hard as I would. You know what other number I liked? I loved Jerry Rice growing up. I have a Jerry Rice rookie card, in fact. Mm. And the other number I would wear would be 80. I like wide receiver too.
Who has 8? Josh Malone. Okay. Has there been a good 80 recently for the Bengals?
No.
No, I can't even think of who else wore it before Malone.
Me neither.
Weird.
What kind of toppings do you like on your pizza?
If it's just me picking, I'll take cheese, pepperoni, mushrooms, and black olives and just leave it as that. But there's some places around here that make a really good buffalo wing topping, and it's blue cheese instead of sauce, and the chicken is in there. So it's really good.
That's nice. I like a weird pizza. And I catch flack for this, so I think I just have a particular taste for food. But I like broccoli on my pizza. I like good chicken on my pizza. And I'm not saying like Domino's chicken because I don't trust that chicken, but like a nice pizza place that actually cooks their own chicken is pretty good. There's this place in Wisconsin where I lived that did a really good pizza. So broccoli chicken, goat cheese in addition to mozzarella cheese, so like little pieces of goat cheese scattered around. Pine nuts, toasted pine nuts.
Pine nuts.
A little bacon if you want. It comes together really nicely, I swear.
This local bakery that I love, DiCamello, shout out to them. They make a great, great broccoli pizza. I mean, it's so good. We get it every time we end up going in there.
Oh, I thought that look you gave me was, what are you doing, when I said broccoli? I didn't realize you were like, oh, yeah, there's a broccoli pizza here I like, too.
Yeah, it may have started of, oh, broccoli. Oh, yeah, that's right. We do get that broccoli pizza.
It's good on pizza, isn't it?
For whatever reason, it's salty mixed in with that sauce. It's good.
Yeah, it's nice. Yep.
We have a good time with it.
We need to take another break, Joe. We only have two more questions and we need to get our second break in there. So I'll take this opportunity to remind our listeners that the show is also still brought to you by Grip Six Belts. They're doing a Father's Day special. If you've forgotten, Father's Day is Sunday.
Sunday.
Happy
Good
Father's
one.
Day, Dad. I hope you're listening. I'm sorry we didn't keep you entertained yesterday when we missed a day. But grip6.com/LOCKE, grip6.com/lock for some special offers on Grip 6 belts. Ultra lightweight, no holes, no flap. Great Father's Day gift. Joe, did you get yours yet?
I'm not getting one, I think.
Man.
I spend so much money lately, I told my family don't give me anything.
Oh, I meant like somebody was going to buy you one from the Twitters.
No one asked for my address. That means you guys don't love me.
Damn. Cold. We'll be right back.
Guys, let's talk about sex. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up as twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Let me tell you, we get free samples, and if you think Marshawn Lynch has a good stiff arm, you've seen nothing yet. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Lockdown Bengals podcast. And we're back, and let's go back to the last two, final two questions. Andrew Dockrell gets his chance again to ask a question that hasn't been asked. I'm looking at his avatar picture right now. Looks like he's playing flag football, and I'm wondering if this is a catch or no catch. Jake, you should probably click on his picture. I don't think he catches this, and if anything, he's getting hit in the nuts by the ball and that's his face. But I bet this ball slips right through his hands, through his legs, and hits the ground.
I think and it's I think he catches it with his thighs, but then misses the next play.
Yeah, right. He's out for the next play. So he toughs up, makes the catch, and then he's out for a play.
Looks like there's a lot of contact there for flag football.
I mean, it's raining, so I'm giving him a pass, but those hands aren't on the ball. He tried to catch that with his body.
I think I might, too. He's going to the ground.
There's a time and a place for a body catch.
Trying to hands catch when you're going to the ground in the rain. You got wet gloves. He doesn't have people giving him dry towels on the sideline.
Yeah, but those are nice gloves. Look at them.
They're blurry and orange.
Yeah, I bet they're real sticky and nice. All right. Andrew's got a really good question, though. He says, you can trade three players' positions, position for position, with the LA Rams, okay? It may make it harder if you go DT1, which would be Geno Atkins for Aaron Donald, obviously. So it'll be a little bit, you know, when you look at it and say Todd Gurley for Joe Mixon, you may not do it. I think this gets interesting because I started thinking of a few Rams players, and I said, I don't know if I'd actually make this trade. Jake, do you got any ideas on where you would go?
Robert Woods for John Ross.
You would take that. You would say, okay, I'll take Robert Woods.
Yep. Rob Havisine for Bobby Hart.
Is Robert Woods wide receiver number three for them? I see you might be cherry picking a bit there.
He's outside. So I'm looking at it as Cooks is their slot guy, or Kupp is their slot guy.
Right. Or Kupp is.
I guess they're all slot guys. I don't know. Yeah. I take Kupp for Ross too.
In this offense, I think in a traditional offense, I'd hate to have Boyd and Kupp, right?
I don't know. Offensive line. I'm
just
trying
to make it hard on you.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm definitely taking Rob Havisine though, right tackle. That's the easiest one, right?
That is the easiest one. Yeah, because I thought Whitworth. What do I give up, Jonah? As someone for maybe 1 year left when Whitworth, and he'll be better this year than Jonah, I think. But the next 4 years, I'll definitely be better with Jonah Williams.
Yeah. Let's see. Last one, I'd trade Darqueze Dennard for one of the corners.
Nickel Roby Coleman is their slot guy.
Roby Coleman is their slot guy, then Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters.
Well, you got to trade slot for slot is the idea.
I'm trading Drake Kirkpatrick.
But you said Dariquis Dennard.
My bad. I was thinking Drake Kirkpatrick.
All right. See, I was thinking Dennard for Roby Coleman because Roby Coleman's one of the best nickel guys in the league. So I was like, okay, yeah, it makes sense.
I think you get a bigger upgrade, but Akeem Tlaib's getting up there, but he's still good.
Yeah, you're right. He is still good. I would take that. I think all your answers are right. I wouldn't. They have a linebacker that I'm forgetting his name right now.
Corey Littleton, Samson Ekwonu.
Yeah, Littleton. Yeah. If I can trade Littleton for pick your spot, for
any of the linebackers.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Pick one, and I'll take it.
Yeah, those are good ones. Dalton for Goff is fine. I don't think that you're gaining a ton, but that's fine. Josh Malone for Josh Reynolds. I'm definitely on that one.
Yeah, Reynolds
or Erickson, I guess. I guess it would be Erickson for Reynolds. I'm still taking it.
Yeah, it would be. That would be that, yes.
That's a good deal. Get some depth. What else we got
here? There's
not
many, right?
How about Bullock for Zuerlein?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the three, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because
I think it's Havisine.
A couple in there.
I think it's Havisine, Zuerlein.
And then give me the linebacker. Give me Littleton.
The linebacker.
Let's get one offense, one defense, one special teams, and this is in a much improved Bengals roster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's huge.
We said, oh, yeah, at the same time. Right tackle, linebacker, and kicker. Yeah, we feel real good about this now.
Yeah.
Great question, Andrew.
Hell, yeah. Good question, Andrew. We got some good ones this week. I like this last one here, too, from Tyler Lindsay, another regular on the weekend mailbag. Choose one group, all players in their prime, to be the core of your defense. And he picks some all-time Bengals greats. The first group is Ken Riley, Jonathan Joseph, Odell Thurman, Takeo Spikes, and Carlos Dunlap. The second group is Justin Smith, Geno Atkins, Reggie Nelson, Delta O'Neal, and Brian Simmons.
Yep, I see that. I'm going to grade these guys really fast on my own sheet just to see how I really feel about them, if these are even or not. So give me 1 second. I'm running through it.
I think that there are some changes I would make to one
easy
of these
one.
Groups. To
easy.
Make it.
It's a second group.
You think it's a second group?
It's a second group, and it's easy. And the difference is because Brian Simmons versus Odell Thurman, in my opinion.
Odell Thurman's prime, though.
We saw his prime. It was his rookie year. That's
it was great. It was great.
You're going to choose Odell Thurman as a core player? I gave him a D for his career grade, basically.
But this isn't a career grade. This is players in their prime for 1 year.
Got one prime rookie year.
That's not what this is about. This is about, I'm assuming this is
am
about.
Am I projecting what he's going to be when he's 26 years old?
I think so.
Or am I taking him at 22?
You're taking him at his best year, and you're saying that's his career. I think this is a 1 year exercise. If longevity is part of it, then you throw the first group out because of Odell Thurman. Yeah.
No, even if it's 1 year in. Even if it's 1 year, I'll take Brian Simmons. Because you're still rolling a dice. See, in my opinion, you're not getting. Let's think of it in Madden terms, right? Say Odell Thurman was a 90 his rookie year. Brian Simmons for most of his prime was probably like an 86. Would you say that's fair?
Sure.
But I think there's a range of outcomes even with that 1 year for Odell Thurman could be between because he's a rookie. Let's say a 78 and a 95. His range in that year probably waved between there. Well, Brian,
I think
Simmons
you're overthinking
prime,
it.
Brian Simmons' prime was probably an 80 to an 88 or an 80 to a 90.
I think you're overthinking it. I think you're overthinking it.
I don't think I am. I think you have to overthink it in order to find the right answer.
No, I think this question is asking, would you rather have a better secondary linebacker group or a better defensive line? That's the way I look at it.
I can see that.
And that gets hard because the secondary in the first group is much better. Now, if the second, so here's the thing I was going to change in the second group is I was going to say, I would rather have that cornerback, if we're going to talk about prime corners, be Leon Hall or Adam Jones, because Adam Jones had an all pro year in Cincinnati. Did you know that?
Oh yeah. I don't like Delta O'Neal being the Delta O'Neal being the, yeah. I don't like him being the corner option for B. He's the worst player of this group, in my opinion.
And Reggie Nelson, I think he was good. I think he's overrated by Bengals fans.
I do too. I think he had to be used correctly in order to be good. And that's not a problem if you're getting a good player. But, you know, I don't think he's not Justin Smith, Geno Atkins. And I gave him a B with Brian Simmons and Delta O'Neal. Mm-hmm.
So Ken Riley is an all-time great.
Yes, I gave him an A.
Jonathan Joseph is probably an A minus then in that system.
I give him an A also. I mean, neither guy, Riley's not in the Hall of Fame. Joseph has had a tremendously long career of high level play.
Yep. Tekeo Spikes is an all timer.
Yeah, I gave him a B plus.
I would give him an A.
He is the linebacker equivalent of Jonathan Joseph, right?
Yeah.
Play a long time, play really good. Well. Yeah, that's fine.
If he was on a better team, he would.
So let's see how I feel about this if I switch that to an A.
And give Odell Thurman at least. I think you have to. So I would give him a B.
I give him a D.
I would give him a B because you're talking about his best year, and in his best year, he was elite.
If you're looking at it that way, giving him a B, then it's easily the first group because, in my opinion, Delta O'Neal gets the lowest grade of all.
And what if you change
players.
Delta O'Neal to Pac-Man Jones or Leon Hall?
If you change it to Leon Hall, because I think Leon Hall was at one point the best slot corner in the league, and may have only been for a year and a half till he tore his Achilles. And if he didn't, I think he would have been viewed maybe much differently. I was already trying to lean towards that group B because I think Justin Smith is borderline Hall of Famer. I think Geno Atkins is going to be a Hall of Famer, and there's no Hall of Famer on the other group in Group A.
And you can argue that Ken Riley should be.
Sure, and you can argue that, and it may be like Justin Smith, where we're like, man, he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's a fucking Defensive Player of the Year. But I didn't mean to swear there. Geno Atkins
is emphatic.
Make it right. Geno Atkins is probably in it and the only Hall of Famer of these two groups. So if you switch that to Leon Hall, I definitely take that second group hands down.
I really like the first group, though. I got to say, I love the corners. I think if you take Odell's best season and Tekeo Spike's best season, that's the best linebacker core in the league. And Carlos Dunlap's a great complementary piece for those four. The other group has Geno Atkins and Justin Smith as cornerstone players. And then, if you have Leon Hall in there, you've got a great corner. And then Reggie Nelson is a guy that if you use him well back there, he's good at safety. And Brian Simmons is a good, maybe a great, not elite linebacker.
I think he's just good. I think he's just okay and good. Yeah.
That's fair.
You'd be fine with him, but I think you'd want a good number two next to him. And since we don't know who that is, rather than in the other group, we can see it's Spikes and Thurman. You feel really good about that position.
It's just like, do you want Geno Atkins and Justin Smith as your anchors, or do you want to rely on the guys behind the trenches?
Right.
Yeah. I as it's written, I'm taking Group A because I'm way higher on Odell Thurman in his prime than you are.
When I listen to other people do these things, sometimes I wish they'd recap who's exactly in there. So again, if you're listening, Ken Riley, Jonathan Joseph, Odell Thurman, Tekeo Spikes, Carlos Dunlap, Group A. Group B, Justin Smith, Geno Atkins, Reggie Nelson, Delta O'Neal, Brian Simmons.
We'll put up a poll.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
I think we'll see what the poll says.
Yeah, don't say. Let's see what the poll says.
Yeah. Well, that's it for us, Joe. That's all our questions. We did it.
You got anything fun this weekend?
Yeah. I'm going to one of my favorite restaurants for dinner tonight. Very excited. Hopefully going to get some ice cream. Also very excited.
It's ice cream season.
It's ice cream season. You guys can't see us, but I'm not wearing sleeves right now.
Yeah, it must be sun's out, guns out for Jake right now. Is it nice and warm?
I'm wearing pants, though, and I'm very hot.
Oh, I haven't put pants on in at least a month.
Wow.
And I mean, I wear shorts.
You got to wear pants at work, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm lying because I'm only thinking about outside of work.
Yeah. Then Sunday's Father's Day. My father is far away from me, so I'll talk to him on the phone. And then my buddy is playing tennis with his dad for Father's Day. So I'll probably, his dad likes seeing his friends. So my friend Dave's dad likes seeing Dave's friends whenever he sees Dave. So Dave's trying to get me to come hang out with him and his dad.
One of those dads, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's got that for a friend that's like, yeah, ringer buddy.
Well, it's more like, his dad's like, yeah, I want if the guys are around, love to see him. Like, cause Dave's got this, you know, we're there's a couple of us that are close friends, and anyway,
right.
Yeah. So that's it for the Lockdown Bengals podcast this week. Joe, are you working nights next week?
No, I'm on days, Monday through Thursday, so we can be on a normal schedule.
You get a full week of Jake and Joe next week talking about, I don't know, guys. We'll figure it out. We'll find something. Maybe the Bengals will sign somebody, Gerald McCoy. Oh, wait. Too soon?
Yes. Let's get weird next week.
Yeah, we might. We just might. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. You can find us on the new Himalaya podcast app for a curated list of podcasts just for you and a discovery mode to find new podcasts. Himalaya app is where you should be going for all of your podcasting needs. Also available on the Google Play, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. Until next time, Bengals fans, have a good one.